Welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. My name is Smiley and I'm joined by Vangelda and a returning Corey. Corey's been, it's been a few weeks or months, I don't know, since we've had Corey on, but Chaleya, welcome back.
Thank you, man. It's good to be back. I'm not at 100%. I'm kind of sick at the moment, but we have some football to discuss.
Yeah, Chaleya, your man is sick of his team that seems to have let him down once again. You know, last week, Corey was like in his feelings. He was prepared to come and vent, but this week, he looked like he's just a man who has resigned to his fate. But in any case, let's talk about United versus Arsenal. This is probably one of the most low-key United versus Arsenal games we've seen in terms of the hype and the build-up. And it's mainly because United, they battle Ipswich for the down there. Arsenal too have managed to let the league slip away once again. So there was really nothing much at stake. But it actually turned out to be a very interesting game, like end-to-end action, a lot of big chances missed and everything. Let me start with Vangelda, because Corey, I know say your man, he vexed the team, so you say you don't go watch. Vangelda, did you catch the game? And what did you think of the game? Who impressed you? And who disappointed you? Who shocked you?
Good evening to our listeners. I watched the game, mostly the second half. The first half, then I make busy small, so I don't watch everything, but I watched part of the first half. The first half wasn't that good until United scored. I think Arsenal were probably the better team during the first half. But after United scored a goal, no, then rise up, they say, hey, this is Old Tafu. Old Tafu with this. So we'll show you. And I was very impressed with Manchester United, actually. I don't know his name. Some black left back, Aiden Heaven or something like that.
Heaven. We get him from Arsenal.
Yeah, but I was very impressed by the kid. I think he played really, really well. And I think you have some other kid in midfield, Collier or something like that. He was also really good. I found it very interesting that in some weeks past, I think one of... What's his name? I forgot this guy's name. He's a legend for Manchester United. Keane. I think it was Roy Keane. Came at Bruno Fernandes. And ever since then, Bruno has been saving United back to back. But as usual, Bruno Fernandes was there. I think Zexi had a very good game as well. Well, very good is probably a stretch. He had a good game. He played really well. Hoyland is another story. I think he should go back to school. It's not too late. Denmark, they have free education. He can go to university for free. I think he should go to school and abandon the football. But I was very, very impressed with the way United played. I think for some weird reason, United had this very uncanny attitude of raising it against the big clubs. So when they meet a big team, and yeah, somebody might say, oh, but they lost to Spurs because Spurs is not a big team. But yeah, when they meet their big teams, they kind of find a way to just rise it and they just play better. I don't know if it's because the big teams play in a way that United are able to counteract it, or I don't know. But they just happen to play well when they play against the big teams. And today, they were very impressive. Arsenal, on the other hand, I think it's been the same story since they lost their attacking, their creative spark in...
You mean our forward line?
Massa, see, may I just tell you, the Arsenal fans want to sneak Kavis coming inside, but Mfa is because you lost Bukayo Saka. Me, as for that kid, I rate him.
No, okay.
Rate him highly.
Okay, you're going to make you finish.
And I think even though Wanyeri has done well since he came in, you can still tell that he's still young. There's still a lot of things that he needs to learn. I'm worried about Martin Odegaard. I think he's been quite poor this season. Quite poor this season for a captain. And at the crisis on time catch, then they get Odegaard camp and Saka camp. If Saka do something with Odegaard to do something, they say, hey, we're sick of Odegaard. Why we're sick of Saka? Saka got injured and I thought, okay, here's Odegaard's chance to silence all his critics. And now he has more haters than before Saka even went on injury, because now people are saying he's actually not that good. He's not that creative. I don't think so. I think he's creative, but he requires a lot of things to be perfectly in place for his creativity to shine. Whereas, so I used to think of him like, oh, Arsenal have properly replaced Mesut Ozil, but maybe not. Maybe he's not up to Ozil's standard as I thought he could be, because if Ezo to play with Van Gerder,
I won't be here for Ozo slander.
No, I'm not here to slander Ozo. I'm saying that
Odegaard, I don't want to put him on the same level as some boys.
Oh no! I'm saying that
because Ozo gets get third eye.
That I used to think Odegaard had the third eye too. That's what I'm saying. Oh, like then after I say Odegaard too, like he defeat create something
two and
out
half,
of nothing.
Two and a half.
But since Saka has been out, it's been very hard to watch. Honestly, it's been really hard to watch, especially when you know he's a very talented player and he should be doing much better. As for Martinelli, I think the least said the better. We all know what we get from him. I think for some weird reason, Trossard has lost form. I don't know. They look like them players.
Van Gerder, you're really pressing on some pressure points.
Make a count.
Not in a bad way, but you depress some pressure points where they make my temperature they rise. That'd be very cool as I enter the port. But you go on.
But you see, I don't think your manager has fundamentally changed anything in terms of your attacking play. I just think right now we are beginning to see who actually they run the front, then who know they run the front. That's the best way I can put it. And clearly, there are people who arguments with me. If I remember at the beginning of the season, Trossard will come in, make his mark, score a goal or give an assist or whatever. And people kept complaining, like, why you know we start this guy? Why you know we start that? Give him a consistent round of games, he'll shock you. But funny enough, I didn't think he needed it because every time I watched him as a starter, he was disappointing. It's like he for tap back then read the game. Before he go fit in fact, if he just make a play from beginning, he know the fit do anything. Very rarely do you see him start and actually perform to a high standard. So I think that this has really shown who actually works well with the manager's system and who doesn't work well. As for Raya, respect to him, very good goalkeeper. I think he's the reason why Arsenal didn't lose today. I think he's the reason why some of the saves he pulled off today, I'm just there like, if he give me half right, one Raya leg, it go help my team, basically, right? But all in all, it was a very good game. I think I really enjoyed. I enjoyed, especially the second half after the equalizer. United were really, really going for it. Arsenal were trying, but it will them my own be social studies answer lack of adequate resources. So yeah, that's my thoughts on the game.
So let me talk a little bit about United because you focus a lot more on Arsenal. So first of all, I remember when they were doing the FA Cup draw for the round that United just went out of, when they were doing the draw, and I looked at all the teams. You know how almost all the big teams had already gone out. Like Arsenal was already out, Liverpool was out. I looked at the draw, Man City was the only big team left. And I said, Charlie, me, it'd be Man City I want for inside. Because at this moment, it's only against the big team that I can trust this team to turn up. Against the small teams, it's like there's no... I don't know why, but it's only against the big teams that we are able to turn up. Maybe it's because our system leans more towards the defensive side. I don't know what it is about us, but this was another good performance in a big game by Amorim, who I'm not too much of a fan of at the moment. In fact, compared to other big games that we've played, I think we created way more chances. We looked more solid defensively. It wasn't backs against the wall, at least in the second half, because in the first half, they pinned us back for quite long periods. So the second half in particular was quite good. And like special mentions go out to Garnacho, because Garnacho, the whole attack today was Garnacho and Ishanla. Like everything was going through him. There was nothing being created too much from the midfield. Even though Bruno came up with that wonderful free kick, Bruno to somebody who like, I slander Bruno chair, but right now, this season, if you notice, I've laid off the Bruno slander a bit this season because like he's doing his part. He's doing some good stuff. And if you notice, for the past 4 or 5 games, United haven't been scoring much from open play. Almost all our goals are coming from set pieces. It's either a free kick, a corner. It's always coming from that. And that's another reason why Amorim might get problem passing, because we might be getting a few decent results here and there, but it's not coming from open play. It's coming from set pieces. So, yeah, Garnacho did quite good today. Mazraoui too. I know, so far, we've not really seen much of Mazraoui at the wing back positions because it's mostly been Dalo and somebody else. And I think to one extent, it's because Mazraoui, okay, he's versatile and everything. So he performs good at right center back and left center back and all of that. But I also think that he hasn't really impressed too much playing at the wing back positions. And that's why we keep ending up with Dalo and other people all the time. But this was one of the first times that I've seen Mazraoui really look good in the wing back positions. So that was also another positive today. De Ligt, for the past like few months, nobody can point like a bad game that De Ligt has played. Me, De Ligt, if I start, then go talk, say me, I'll be fanboy, I'll defend my boy and everything. But me, I keep saying that he's one player who his entire career has been dominated by narratives. People like to cook certain narratives about him. And it's like somebody starts this rumor or thing going about him and everybody just jumps on it. People will say that he's injury prone, but you look into his injury record, it's not really that bad. People will say that as Bayern, what's his name? That Tottenham defender, Eric Dier benched him. You go and look, it's not true. You go and say that Juventus sold him because he wasn't good and all of that. That one too is not true. The guy's contract was running out. He said he's not going to renew. So they just sell him and they managed to recoup it. Like, I don't want to go on a whole De Ligt defense tangent, but like, he's been good for the past, like, really, really good for the past, say, 2 months or so. So, yeah, that's also another huge positive that, like, I'm really happy about. Heaven, as Van Gelder pointed out, Heaven too, he's not really some, like, he's because he's new, he's a teenager. I wasn't really sure what to expect from him coming to United because I've not really watched much of him. He's one. Usually when players come in, I watch a lot of comps and everything, but at the moment, morale day low. So even if somebody to come, I don't even get the motivation going, learn a lot about the player. But he's been decent. I was a bit disappointed that we didn't get to see Chido come on because that's another guy we stole from Arsenal. And in the few games that we've watched him play, I've at least seen him at least dispel the rumors that we don't create enough for our strikers. Because, yes, sometimes it has to do with the chances you are creating from midfield and everything. But the striker's movements also determine how many chances he's going to get. So, for example, before Chido came, Hoyland was on a run where I think he had gotten just 2 big chances in our last 17 games. So, naturally, everybody was saying, oh, we know they create chances for Hoyland. We know they create chances for Hoyland. Chido came, and I think in the 2 games or something that he played, he had 5 big chances. And it was just down to his movement. So it just shows you the difference in like intelligent movements, intelligent running and everything. So it's a little disappointing that we didn't get to see him. But speaking of Hoyland, Charlie, I was a huge fan last season. A huge fan. And I think he was really good last season. Even though one thing I've noticed that is that he's a very streaky player. So maybe for a month, he'll be scoring consistently, and then 3 months, he's lost, and then a month. But at least those months where in game come, you just see a lot of promise. This season, we've never had 1 month of him being consistently good. And like for me, I don't think he's bad. I just think he's regressed seriously from last season. Last season, he scored, I think, 16 goals in all competitions. I think this season, he has like 5 in Europa, 1 in the Premier League or something. It's some very crazy, like, it just doesn't make sense. This drop-off is something that nobody could have seen coming because as a young player, you expect them to go from strength to strength. Like, if you take a player like Garnacho, his first season, he had like 7 goal contributions. His second season, he had like 10 or 11. This season, he's on 15. You can see like an upward trajectory, always improving on the previous season, even though there's been a lot of criticism of him this season. But like, his numbers are decent for a player of his age. Hoyland has just been, I don't know. This season, this match, you can't even use the excuse that he didn't get any chances because he got some huge chances and you don't even know what was going on through his head. Like, I just don't get it. It's very disappointing. I don't want to say like I've written him off completely because for somebody who did so well last season, it's very hard for me to just say that the guy no good, but like, it's very hard to point out positives in his game at the moment. So yeah, on the United end, I was really satisfied with the performance. And it's now, I think, back-to-back good performances from United, even though we've not won those back-to-back games. 1-1 against Sociedad, 1-1 today. So it's a decent performance. And United, if you've been following United this season, you hardly find two back-to-back good performances from us. Till today, we are in match week 28. United have not won two games in a row in the league. So that should tell you, yes, match week 28, we've not won back-to-back games in a row in the Premier League. If we've won back-to-back games, it'd be Premier League, then Europa, Premier League, FA Cup. The FA Cup, Seth, it'd be draws with a take finesse on our body through, because we go draw, go play penalties, go win. Like, it may not be win. But yeah, United, I know it's a very crazy start, but match week 28, we've not won two games in a row. So that's why right now you can see me being very happy about a game that we've drawn. Like, that's how low we've sunk. So yeah, one more point closer to the magic 40 points mark. And on the Arsenal end, Charlie, Raya was incredible today. Like, the number, like, yes, you can blame the strikers for missing some good chances, but like, sometimes you have to give credit to the keeper. There's a difference between a huge miss and a good save. Some of them weren't bad misses, but they were incredible saves by Raya. So yeah, like, it was just a super performance by him. You guys are criticizing Odegaard. Me, on the other hand, I actually think that Odegaard was decent. Me, maybe because I've always been a fan of Odegaard from his Sociedad days and everything. Like, I've always been a fan of Odegaard. You see, me, I see Odegaard as a different type of playmaker to the Ozils, to the Brunos, to the De Bruyne's. I see Odegaard as more of like the Modric type of playmaker, in the sense that he's not going to give you crazy numbers. He's not going to give you 20 assists in a season, 15 goals, that kind of thing. But he's the guy who gives the pass before the pass, and he's the guy who also knows how to dictate the tempo of a game. I don't think Bruno has that in his game. So that's why I like players like Odegaard. I mean, I keep saying that Odegaard, I can see him. It's funny because he's played for Real Madrid before, but I can see him in a Real Madrid team, like, being the guy who can draw back. Because there have been times where Odegaard has had to play deeper in midfield just to string things together. Because, like, midfield, I think that was when Partey was gone and they needed somebody who could control the tempo in midfield. So he's had to drop deeper and give that kind of intelligence passing and everything. So I know Arsenal fans at the moment, if you go online, everybody, they bash Odegaard. It is. But me, on the other hand, I actually think Odegaard is, like, he's doing some good stuff. It's just that maybe they need somebody else who is going to give them those numbers. Maybe that was Saka, because they are missing Saka too. So you can't blame them too much. Last week, I was saying that Arsenal, I don't blame them too much, because they are missing basically their front line. So, like, you can't just be going on and on about, yeah, they should be winning regardless, they should be winning regardless. Like, whether you rate Havertz or not, he still scored more than United strikers combined. So me, if you ask me to choose between him and them, I would take him. So, like, yeah, like, I would lay off too much on the criticism on those people for, like agenda day. Yeah, we were expecting them to win the title and all of those things. But you cannot discard the fact that they are missing their biggest attackers this season. So, yeah, like,
I think the biggest problem, sorry, Corey, I know you're about to come in, but I think the biggest problem is that Arsenal fans, they talk too much. They kind of say, but ask them go read.
Bro, leave. There are people with delusions of grandeur.
You see, that's the thing. Those were not fans. If you say you won't focus on what the fans talk, then now and then, like, yeah, my argument would be a completely different thing. Yeah. But me, if I just want to talk, I want to focus on the team itself and what they are doing. Like, yeah, like, it's disappointing that they couldn't take advantage of a major City offseason. Liverpool, smiley, I don't even think they are going
smiley, to... Smiling. I've had enough of this. I've listened for you to you go on for 20 minutes and try and make excuses for these fuckers. See, Ben Massa, I told you before that this boy was pressing some buttons. You called some names that now I started vex. You called some Brazilian... See, you make a composed mob. My body dead, then take her one by one. First of all, Smiley, I will not allow you to make excuses for them that it's unforeseen.
Take advantage.
They couldn't make the most of take advantage of City's. Master, we not get transfer window. We not get summer. We not get January. I can never. This is when I lost it. I can never forgive a team for literally dashing away. You are second, though. You did chase somebody, and you dashed away. Like, they literally charged the season and said, you know what, let's regroup and start next season. Unforgivable. No arguments could make that forgivable. You know, it wasn't that you were broke. It wasn't that... Are you trying to tell me that 6-8 billion people that did this world inside? You know, Goofy, find one player where Goofy can't substitute. They decide to help your strike, Massa.
I mean, then what's your the coach said he searched the right profile and he don't want to sign for the Massa, sake of
signing. Listen, that fault. Guy, you know, win league before. No, listen up.
Listen, and you know what? And that's the thing that annoys me, right? Arsenal fans, I beg you, humble, as much as we love Haaland, Dentons, Agenda, Dentons, we haven't won shit. You haven't won Jack Rabbit. And challenging doesn't make you a winner. You have to win it to be able to have that air of arrogance. If he talks out, says, oh, this team, we forbid them. You forbid who? You know, be Western can't, your house can't strip you. You watch them. This won't be the first time. I mean, look. I'm not going to allow for excuses. They literally dashed it. And because of that, they deserve everything they are getting. Saka, we tell you how many seasons you'd overplay the boy. You'd overplay the boy. This boy, they play too many games. We understand. Yes, he'd be your Salah. Yeah, cool. We they understand. But if they play too many games, buy somebody who go help him. Right now, you depend on 17-year-old. Make it carry this team. You put the same shit with ESR and Saka when he came fresh, when Arteta came fresh. If he did, then carry the team. You left it on two small boys. Now, you can't left him on this 17-year-old. That boy is a gem. Make it grow naturally. I beg. This accelerated this thing to this thing. Cool. Yamal, they do. Cool. Everything blessed. Yamal go spin. He go win Euros. I beg. Ethan is good, but I don't think Ethan could have contributed the same way Yamal contributed to Spain. It has to be said. Maybe he could have. We'll never know. Right now, then they talk about calling him for England. See, make it cool down. This is the same thing they did with Walcott, and then they went to go and spot that their boy. Now all that boy could do was just run in a straight line. See, make we cool down. Make Ethan develop coolly for some side. Now back to this team. This match I not watch, but I've watched the highlights. For your goalkeeper to get man of the match, make him make stupendous saves, eh? It's not a good thing. Go Biz and Slot say, Alisson, he chopped the PSG man of the match. Was he happy about it? It means say, they'll fire your keeper if it wasn't for him, like Yawa D. Bro, why is your keeper making such saves? Why are you even putting him in a position to make such saves? And the thing we vex me the most is against bloody United. See, as much as this is in context, it's not to slander United. This is in context of the season that is going on. United season that they're having right now, they shouldn't be bashing you the way they are at OT after coming from Sociedad on Thursday. Was it Thursday that Ipo played? You people go play PSV Tuesday, you bang them 7, your eye gets. You stay Eindhoven overnight. You say you jump small before you go out. Suppose they play ball Thursday, Sunday, you people can't play the same ball. You people can't play 1-1. I mean, come on, guys. Like, if you want to win things, there are some decisions that you have to make that make people see that, you are thinking correctly. Like, you want to win something. Not dashing a season away in January. Are you mad? Like, I don't understand what... And that... See, I'm so happy that they didn't give that Jason Ato or whatever his name is the job. Then, already, as he said, they started to cook some narrative giveaway for summer. It started with, we want Isak. Then, Isak might be too expensive. Now, we want Sesko. Then, from Sesko, Jonathan David for Lille. I said, you see, they go take Lacazette 2.0. Like, then they steadily bring down the expectation. So, man, I get why. See, this was before they hired Bertha. So me, my eye get, because better camp, it be that guy be mafia. You know, they can't tolerate these substandard players. That Martinelli that you call it, I dashed that player at the end of last season. Somebody, when you come from Brazil, you try to tell me, say, one step over self, you know if you do. Everything.
He's from Nicaragua.
Head to buy line. I don't give a fuck which South American team. They play game, you go naturalize.
He's in Nicaragua.
As long as you're a substitute, as long as you're a substitute to Vinny Jr., I hear one step over for coming inside. Because you see the goal Vinny scored Getafe to today, that is a Brazilian. This 2x14, they go bring way, they say it be speed that way. All he need to do is say he go put his head down, then run to the sideline. They go say he get corner, make Declan Rice come with corner inside. See, I need a team that is focused on winning. Like you won't blow your team. You won't blow teams off the park. You realize that to beat Liverpool, you have to beat Liverpool more than once in the same game. If you play Liverpool and the game is 0-0, they go make like 4 substitutions, bro, and then you have to beat them again. Because those 4 substitutions, then they take calm inside. They can't change even the way the attack they move. Salah still did it. Salah did the team A, B, then C. But you go see, say, they go move some Elliot or something come. Then some Curtis Jones go there. Then that Gakpo boy. At the beginning of the season, they slander. That guy was doing the job constant every week. Come, bam. Bam, bam, no giddy. See, I need a team that is ambitious. This Gabriel Jesus that you put banged your season. It took him till, I think, was it December or something to score goal where he say, oh, I've seen a revitalized player. You see a revitalized player. It took him 3 games and he tore his ACL. The same player where he can't wait, he go tear in MCL. They say, no, that is not the same player. That 45 million, we take, man, it'd be lost. Put that player on the back burner. Go buy me 3 attackers. Better. I know say you get hits and misses, but your hits pass your misses. Wait, I know say Smiley go support the boy, that guy, because he gets a special transfer where he make happen. So me, I hope say when they hired better, they said it was agent, this guy, he didn't like agents and things. Massa, that cuddling of that anything that he can't do, they cuddle players and they hope say they sign. See, Massa, I need somebody who gets the freaking deal over the freaking line. I don't want any long things with it. Go and get me the players that will help us win the title. In this 12 years, he did plus Atleti. Atleti win 2 titles. They are currently, after this past window that they said he signed Gallagher and things that they laugh at. And let it be second. They're challenging. They weren't challenging last year. They're challenging now. This same player, he go by Julian Alvarez from City. That was not an easy transfer to make happen. So, me, my guess for that guy, make it come shake up what they did. I'm tired of this Edu Kale. I need a team that wins. Until then, I'm resigned. Thank you.
So, moving on from Arsenal United. Again, Corey talked about Arsenal in the Champions League, how they banged PSV and everything. So I'd like to think that game, in fact, it's not that I'd like to think, the game is done and dusted. Like, Arsenal are probably the one team that you can see that they are definitely in the quarterfinal. But there are two other main...
You say that.
Hey, why? You gonna lose 8-0 or what?
Massa, this team, me right now, I'm
here for be the Ghana today because I don't ask for this one.
Baby, check me.
So that game should be, is wrapped up. But one surprising game that caught everybody off guard was Liverpool versus PSG. And that's because I don't think we've seen any big team being dominated in a match as much as we saw PSG dominate Liverpool. Yet somehow, Liverpool still managed to come away with the win. So first of all, let me ask you, Van Gelder. First of all, how surprised were you by PSG's performance? And what are you expecting to happen this week?
I wasn't that much surprised, to be honest. I think every time I've seen them this season, they've been rather impressive. They play well. They are, then complete them a rebuild. So they got rid of all the stars. Now they've got a team and not a bunch of individuals. A team where they can pull together, play together to each other's strengths. But again, the game highlighted the issues with a team like PSG, where they don't have they've not had a striker for a while, right? Ramos was injured. He's only just returned. So then to then get some small excuse, they didn't have a striker. But even more importantly, the amount of chances they missed. And if it today we that day to Alisson pick my seat, today nobody's going. Sorry?
Was it 25? It was 24 plus shots.
I think it was 27. I think it was 27, actually. Yeah.
See, Liverpool were playing like Chelsea. They were like, I was like, it's just and it's lots, boys, because the board didn't play. No. It's like
at this point you're making Van Gelder. This point you're making Van Gelder about that PSG game is why allowing Liverpool to walk, casually stroll while picking daisies on the fucking road to the title. What it fucking pissed me off because that team is vulnerable. But anyway, go on.
Yeah, and I was very surprised by Liverpool's performance. Salah wasn't good. He wasn't good. I think Szoboszlai was quite good that day. But their midfield couldn't hold on to the ball for their lives. Like, they'd get the ball and then they would surrender it back to PSG. And it was wave after wave after wave after wave of attack. I think they were lucky. I think they were like nobody could change my mind. Say, oh, it'd be some Slot masterclass.
He shows
he defeat play Harambo. Master, you know, he shows you go play Harambo. He got lucky. On 9 times, if they play this game 10 times, 9 times out of 10, PSG win that game easily. Right? And so I was quite surprised, but I'm not surprised by PSG's performance. I think they were quite good. And Liverpool just had one chance and then they made it count. What's gonna happen? I think Liverpool will play better at home. Or at least I expect them to. That this week they will play better at home. That they will up their game, they will up their tempo. And if they manage to do that, they may end the game by the first half. But if then some play the way they played, yeah. I don't think it happens twice. That PSG will pepper them, then they will get some one goal. And it's a very slim lead. It's very easy for Kvaratskhelia and Dembele them to come and within the first 30 minutes, they've scored 2 goals. Like, it's not beyond them. So I think it's finely placed. Liverpool are not poised to qualify yet. They've still got work to do. Like, make nobody lie them. They've still got work to do. And they've got to go out there on I don't know when they're playing, whether Tuesday or Wednesday. But they've got to go out there this week and just take the game by the scruff of the neck and see PSG off. I expect Liverpool to qualify, but I would not be surprised, based on the evidence of Tuesday's game, if they don't. Because they were just really, really, really poor. And they were poorer than when they played Chelsea. And that's, they were really poor. And I thought PSG, then they missed, but eventually then go score. Then Alisson just kept save after save. I was like, hey, this good keeper, Timo Maye back, Okurama, yeah, fam, boy, Jose. But yeah, I expect Liverpool to qualify because I think they are good enough to qualify, but they have to work to qualify. If they played like they did this week, Maza. Then go do the info there, then go take them a car, then go out. Then PSG will qualify, go the next round.
So, ahead of the first leg, I remember they were interviewing Joao Neves, I think, and they were asking him, how did you plan on dealing with Liverpool's attack? Because obviously, they probably have the best attack in Europe. And he said, we are going to defend by keeping the ball. And I think they executed their game plan perfectly. And I think it's an example of how sometimes your game plan can work, but you still not win the game. Like, sometimes football is funny like that. Because as Van Gelder said, if they play that game 10 times, they'll probably win 9 times. The one time it was happening on Wednesday. So football can be very wicked sometimes, and it can be very unfair sometimes. But yeah, PSG really impressed me. I know their new sporting director is the one who came with this idea of doing away with all the stars. I think his name is Campos or something.
Luis Campos.
Luis Campos.
So he, I think he was at Monaco at the time when they had Mbappe and Bernardo Silva and all those other people. So he's built a similar team before. So it shows, you see his track record there. I don't know why Ineos CM really didn't say that no go take him, but that'd be a story for another day. So yeah, it was, their rebuild is looking very impressive at the moment. And like, I seriously envy what they've been able to do, because they've actually managed to get a few United targets in the midst. Like, they managed to get Joao Neves, who was a long-term target for United. They've gotten Kvaratskhelia too, who we were also looking at. And even him, it's not even somebody who they needed immediately, because they have Barcola on the left.
They just bought him to stop other people from buying him.
And for modern
Barcola.
Kvaratskhelia. And by modern standards, getting Kvaratskhelia for under 60 million is a steal.
Bro.
In January. Like, it's a huge steal. How the rest of the world just stood by and let him go without even a bidding war, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense.
You know the reason why. If we say the clubs, no, then get those bang bami people where then did the top, then figure, then for find the next big, then for
they
next,
have to
the
next, overthink the, every signing.
Then, over, like, then, bro, then they do, and then they do what, a Modu over Wise.
And this is what is checking me on, because the fans, we will they pay the money. All your commercial teams, it be the fans who.
So yeah, like, PSG's attack too has been quite impressive. Barcola, in fact, because of Barcola's form, Kvaratskhelia has not been able to play in his preferred position on the left. So he started the game on the right, but they were very fluid. So they were interchanging. Ousmane Dembele too, he's been playing across the front line all season. And he's completely like revived his career at PSG in a very impressive way. I remember when United were chasing Sancho, and I said, me, I could prefer, that time Dembele was going through a tough patch as Barca. And I was saying, me, I could prefer Dembele to Sancho. Sancho, me, I never liked him from day one. So I said, me, I could prefer Dembele to Sancho. And we were fighting in one of our WhatsApp groups that, why I would choose Dembele over Sancho. But right now,
Sancho.
I feel like Sancho, there's no competition. Like, right now, between the two.
It's funny. You remember you said when Sancho go Chelsea, when he started and dropped the show that day, the cutting, he say, this reward, no, he can't do for United. He could give you like three solid games. Then right now, if you come on, if you drop a show that way, the team not work, then he lost. Listen, I have never seen truer words like come to fruition, like feely from my eyes. Like, I don't understand. But does the guy, you know, they like the ball again or what? You know, like play ball again
they
or what?
Fear in leg. I don't know if you go play ball before. You know, say, then get some 10 V, then they use for them Sakura Park, Oshun and 9. They the fear in leg. In the fear in leg. That'd be Sancho. In the fear in leg. Like, see, there was a game. Who he played? He played against somebody like that. He didn't attack him once. The person said, Nunes, Man City. Then Nunes played right back. Sancho, they play left wing. He didn't go past him once. If you do like it, they go away. The person do like, you know, that thing the defender is doing, they stand on the ground, they watch or they watch. If the person do that, you know, you lock up, master. He go
then,
turn
then
back.
He turn pass. Yeah.
They go turn around and he go pass. Hey, slow.
See, then at the talk today, say Chelsea by now, I sure say nobody they regret this obligation to bypass Chelsea right now. Like, if you left
this. It'd be obligation.
It'll not be obligation.
Obligation.
It'll not be obligation.
It'll be obligation. Then it'll be what? No, the stipulation we say you for finishing the top 13 or something. So right now, unless you want self implode your season, what's the
maybe don't worry ahead. It'll be 25 million. 25 million. Ah. This one, we go sell him. 25 million.
You go sell him to who? You go sell him to
someone or somebody like that.
Dortmund, like if they want him, if Dortmund wanted him, they would have come for him in the summer. Like,
man, I tell you, see.
Another thing about Chelsea players. That player you think give me that last day, no? That 4-1 you put do we know? This is the reason why I'm happy for better, because that should never happen ever again. What did you guys do to him?
Ryan.
Yeah, what you put him?
We don't do him anything, no. We too, we shock like the way you do, you shock now. Nah. We say, we go buy experienced player, say, make you guys help those young ones, make you show we create. We don't see anything. We don't see.
What players
is now? It's very crazy to see a player regress as much as Sterling has regressed.
Oh my God, it doesn't make sense.
Bro, like
Sterling, he's not even 30 years. Is he 30 years?
Not a, today. He's 29. You know what I'm saying?
His agent is the best agent I have seen in the world. To swing that money?
No. The best agent in the world is to promoting in agents.
That's the best agent.
But so, after him, definitely. After him, Sterling's agent, definitely. Because I don't know, like, Chelsea fans were, like, happy to let him go. Aston fans were happy to receive him. They watched him twice and they said, Mombefa Madienkwe.
I was certain it was Chelsea. Sorry. And new people were not using
it's
him
not,
well.
See, sometimes people think this it's Chelsea. It's not Chelsea. Sometimes it's not Chelsea. See, my team get problems. Plenty. I know. But some players be the like Gallagher. With the top them say, he did go Atleti. He go, master right now.
Oh, but he didn't play for Atleti, low key.
There are two best midfielders. You know, there are two best midfielders are out.
But you actually, before we move into, in fact, it's good that you brought up Atleti. But before we move to them, real quick, predictions. Liverpool versus PSG. Where are you going for?
2-1 Liverpool.
2-1 Liverpool. Okay, Corey.
I hate that. That's to like, but I gotta say, it's gonna be 3-0 Liverpool, Salah scoring 2 and McAllister scoring the other.
Qualified properly. Salah will score 1 penalty, 1 actual goal.
Sorry, 1 penalty. But it will assist the McAllister goal.
Yeah, I'm going for 1-1. Liverpool will still go through, but I'm just going for 1-1. So yeah, moving on to Atleti. So they also managed to get like an impressive result, even though they lost, but it was a 2-1 defeat to Real Madrid. And for Atletico Madrid, going away with holding just a 2-1 lead, it's not a safe position to be in at all. Considering the sort of firepower that Real Madrid had, you'd expect that at least they would have a 2-goal cushion going into the second leg. But just 1 goal is not, it's not looking very assured for Real Madrid at the moment. First, this one, let me start with Corey. First of all, did you watch the match? And what are you expecting to happen?
As for Champions League, I didn't watch that one.
So,
what am I expecting to happen? Madrid are going to beat them very, quite calmly. I don't think they'll struggle when in the return leg. Like, Vinny Jr. is something. I don't know whether they who put the placenta for your leg top or what, but I see what he do this weekend. And honestly, like, the Champions League was nice. I'm glad we go to the quarterfinals. We'll take the money and hopefully invest it in the summer.
My boy say and, we are not going
and come again. Oh yeah, we do want our part. You know, we've gotten them because you know every win be like 2 mil. So you for wait for Emirates, go into the distance, at least try and get a draw at against Madrid at the Emirates, and then hopefully at the other side it will be like a 2-0 or something, and then we call it there. Because look, it's not happening. Let's be realistic.
Maybe by that time the Saka come, then say he will come back this month.
I said, listen, somebody where he did on 1.5 leg, what they can't do for the rest? Make the leg heal. Not force something he can't stretch. Champions League, you are not winning it. Not without a striker. Pep did it with the force. Like, it not be Pep. Pep had won like 4 or 5 Champions League before he do that thing. It not be Pep. Let's calm down. So me, this the Champions League was nice, but Madrid go is heritage. This not be. Listen, if Vinny not worry you, Mbappe will worry you. If Mbappe not worry you, Rodrigo will worry you. If Rodrigo not worry you, Brahim Diaz de bench top. It a hung for many minutes. What he do and let that goal is score. Logo, I've. I feel that go past Rodrigo on because that Rodrigo was pace and accuracy in the finish. Brahim Medioune, he stand the guy up, shake him, then score from an angle that you wouldn't think he would shoot from. Not at least not to where he shot. So me, that goal was up there for me over Rodriguez. And when I see all of that, I know what they are in backline.
You say they go make Gabriel shake or what?
Our defense is good. Midfield, I don't think our team is good enough to beat Madrid. That's the honest truth. And as a whole complete team, it's not good enough to beat Madrid. And Madrid have a complete team.
And this is Real Madrid. If your team knows
it's Madrid, say, like
if you can't beat Madrid, there's nothing to be shy about.
It's true. Arsenal beat Madrid when some kids that even watch football now weren't born, when Henry was still playing. But that team had Henry, and Henry was at that season having one of the greatest seasons of his life. That's why he was able to shove off those players. Who they can't shove off? Merino. Then you give ball to Ethan, make a bend ball. Let's be realistic, bro. Let's challenge. Yeah, but Madrid will score Atleti. That'd be the distance. Unless Simeone, they can't do haram. Like, unless he's coming to let's sit with 11 players and he won't go through because they are ahead.
Disadvantage.
So you for come attack me.
Where right now, away goals know they count. So you know if you say goals score one, then they
go make. So you for me score two. So you have to attack. And that Madrid counter and transition, Maza. Not with those boys.
So, Vangelda, what are you expecting to happen?
I think I agree with Corey on this one. I think Real Madrid have found their form at the right time in the season. So I expect that they will beat Atletico Madrid. I think they'll beat them. I don't even think it'll be like a draw. So I think they will just genuinely beat them. Because Madrid, Atletico were as good as Atletico were. Madrid were the better team on the day. It no be long talk. They were just a better team. I think Mbappe is back on form, which is good for Real Madrid, bad for everyone else. Mbappe
back on form.
Yeah, I'll be there. You know, they play well the start of the season. Then we know they sit up, they miss penalties.
Don't listen to that start of the season nonsense thing that they were doing. When they were saying that start, he has having a bad start, he has scored like 18 goals or something like that. Like, we have strikers. See, 18 goals. How many goals Manchester United at the back?
Why are you comparing other people's strikers? People have Hoyland and things. Okay? 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 Don't do that. At the end of the day, that Mbappe, Rodrigo, Vinicius front three way, you don't know who you demark. You don't know who go there where at any point in time. People think it's a vibes thing that if you raise your eyebrow, then people they move about. No, he coach them for training. They go that Di Stefano there. That be the training that they do 11 against 11. That man, people they tell you, hey, you don't get any taxes. They hold coffee, they raise eyebrow. If you raise eyebrow, if them know what the eyebrow they mean. That better know what that eyebrow they mean. You know what? So I think Real Madrid will beat Atletico, unfortunately. Even though Simeone has done well, it's a rebuild year. They have a younger team. They've brought the overall age down. They've brought the good things, they've done it. Right? And they are trying their best, but I think this is the end of the road for them. I expect Real Madrid to go ahead, probably just win the Champions League. Because I can't see who beats them. That's the problem. Okay, I have an idea. Somebody that can beat them. I have an idea who can beat them. It's Inter. I think Inter can beat them. But as of Inter Milan, even Liverpool,
Inter are not playing. No, Inter are not playing. I'm going to win Champions League football.
That's the thing with Inter Milan. They never play. I'm going to win Scudetto or Champions League football. You go sit on the winner.
But sometimes you can see the trend. Are they still in it?
Bro, they won their first match convincingly 2-0. We did first 30 minutes and they scored two. And I'm just relaxing. Yeah. They go
sorry for that.
You don't see them like that. You go figure they know they play. Basa.
You go there and they go see them. Marcus throws for you some good.
He goes score some good. It makes sense. He scores some good. It makes sense. So yeah, I think Real Madrid go through, and as Smiley Corey said. Yeah, they face Arsenal next. I don't see how Arsenal stop
Rodrigo them. Versus Lewis Skelly. Rodrigo versus Calafiori. Both of them will get red cards. What did they tell me?
Oh, Charlie. Unless he hurts people.
So for me, I actually don't think it's going to be that straightforward. Because first of all, Real Madrid have actually struggled against Atletico at Atletico's home for a few years now. I think their last win, their last away win against Atletico was in 2022 or so. And in their last five games, I think it's been three draws, one win for Real Madrid, which was last week, one win for Atletico, which was, I think, a few games ago or so. So, like, between them, they tend to match each other quite evenly. So, I'm actually expecting, I don't know, I actually do think that Atletico might spring a surprise. Maybe it might be, I think they might get a 2-1 or something, then it goes to extra time and penalties. If it goes to penalties, then Real Madrid wins it. So, yeah, I'm actually expecting Atletico to spring a surprise because Atletico have actually had a really good the past few games, they've actually managed to match Real Madrid quite well. So, 2-1, maybe Julian Alvarez and some other people might, I don't know, find something within them.
Who be that boy with his phone game, Atletico?
Solot.
Starts with the S. Solot. That's it.
Ex-Crystal Palace target man.
You didn't lie.
Everybody go left here, then go shine for somewhere.
Charlie, make better not think these kind of players come.
The kind of players they said. You see, that the thing that you make, we move on. Because these sporting directors, right? I mean, I look at them like this.
I know what you talk.
Because one time you go figure, oh, this one there, he can't do this. Then you go see, no, then go corrupt and plus the system he did there. The club inside, and all of a sudden he too go start to lower his standard. And
Smiley, what happened to that Ashraf? I thought he was Manchester United, the man new.
Then Sakam, a long time ago in Bethlehem. Then Sakam, 5 months now, then Sakam.
Why? On what basis? Or he left?
They say he don't be the guy that figure that he can't get.
That one, there'll be a whole different conversation on its own. But let's just go through the other games quickly. Let's just do some quick predictions. A lot of them, they are already done and dusted, really, but for the sake of it. Aston Villa, they beat Club Brugge 3-1 away. So they are going to Aston Villa soon. Yeah. That one, too, is probably just... It's already done and dusted, but...
I don't trust Villa.
Nah. I think they have enough firepower to go through.
All right, fair enough. But I don't trust Villa. That's what I tell you.
3-1. It's Van Gelder. It's 3-1, no.
I don't trust Villa. Villa
to their home.
Their home.
Yeah. I don't. You go shock people. Aston Villa.
Well, it's Unai. It's Unai.
I don't trust Villa.
Emery be cup manager. So this is his bread and butter. Like tournaments.
Yo.
I'll
not tell you.
Yo. For me, that one is Villa win easy. Like they are going to. PSV Arsenal. That one is already done and dusted. Dortmund Leo. It was a 1-1 at Dortmund's home.
I think Dortmund will still go through. I think they'll get eliminated. I think Leo will beat them 2-1. I think Leo will beat them.
They are going to France.
Nah.
I don't trust Dortmund. France, they do then go 4 at that right now, then go JD.
Dortmund, the funny thing about them for the past two seasons is that they've been incredible in the Champions League and very terrible in the league. So, in the Champions League, I also think that they'll still find something within them and win this one because they are still within their new manager bounce period too. So, I think they might still win, even though it's a 1-1 going away. So, yeah. Feyenoord Inter. Inter beat Feyenoord 2-0 away.
It's not a question. Let's move on.
Yeah, Inter.
Inzaghi boys. Then goes slap Feyenoord for home.
Yeah, Inter. Yeah, if it come, like, I did trust them past almost any other team in Europe at the moment. It's like, Inter, yeah, they're my dark horses to make it to the final, actually. I don't even know if you can count them as dark horses now because they've had a very solid team for a few years now, so... They should be considered as one of the favorites anyway. But yeah, Inter, yeah, like, I'm expecting them to get through. Yeah, Bayern versus Leverkusen. This one was a surprising one because under Xabi Alonso, Bayern were yet to beat Leverkusen in league, in cup, anywhere. They were yet to beat them. So even on the After the Whistle Twitter page, if you realize, there was a poll on the After the Whistle Twitter page on who is it you're expecting to win the Bayern versus Leverkusen tie. And I think it was like 70% of people tipping Leverkusen to go through. But somehow, Bayern just slapped them at home. And it also shows you that Champions League, heritage, they play a huge factor. Like, somebody will hold
heritage.
You... Champions League heritage be very different from any other thing. Because you go see maybe in the league... In the league, maybe in league matches, maybe you go see like some Celta Vigo, they hold Real Madrid and they give them tough time or something. Then go Champions League, Real Madrid go smash them some 5-0. Champions League heritage is just different. I don't know why, I don't know how, but Charlie, for me, that game was also another surprising one. But is anyone expecting Leverkusen to do some miracle comeback?
Charlie.
Let me see us, please.
So another one that is already wrapped up. Benfica versus Barca. That one, 10-man Barca beat Benfica 1-0 away.
I think they'll beat Benfica.
That was embarrassing.
Yeah.
10-man. And they had the red card very early to like
20-something minutes. Yeah.
Then get red card. Sammy, then score you out for your house. I hope they don't pay them.
So yeah, that one too. It looks like we're all tipping Barca to go through. And then we've already done PSG versus Liverpool. So yeah, we are hoping to see some exciting games this weekend. We'll be back next week to recap what has happened. And we've come to the end of this episode. If you haven't done this already, please follow our social media pages, Twitter, Instagram, ATW Podcast, GCR, YouTube, After the Whistle Podcast, TikTok, After the Whistle. And yeah, we are still on our usual podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple. Lately, we know they promote those ones too much, but yeah, we still did there. So if you're the type who doesn't like to watch video, you like to listen while you're driving or anything, we are still over there. So Apple, Spotify, just subscribe to us over there. And yeah, I know lately it's been hard to get a full house. For the past few weeks, me and Van Gelder did do some one-on-one things. Right now, we managed to get Corey back. Hopefully,
get life back. Life is life, bro.
Life is life.
Soon. Everybody go settle there. Everybody go come on board.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get cracked soon. And then KO go be the cherry on top. Because KO, yeah, it's been like a year since we started KO. So yeah. And then we are planning some special guests for some episodes in the future. So you guys, we get something cooking for you guys. So stay tuned. There's not going to be the usual faces you are seeing all the time. So yeah, once again, thank you guys for joining us. And as always, ATW dominates the conversation.